How are you all doing? It's a wonderful day, September 11th, 2023, 2021 hours Eastern Daylight Time. Of course, September 11th has a somber aspect to it ever since the horrific attack on the World Trade Towers. I'm Ward Green, and we're going to discuss, hopefully, some more of the article, Ark of Urartu, today, and we have Chapter 1, Paragraph 4. The giant drogue anchor stones found along a line northwest of the Ark landing site have tapered holes with a hollowed-out interior for the knot and curvature to prevent shear. They are entirely consistent with their use on Noah's Ark. They are too big to be used on considerably smaller boats. Mr. Samuel Windsor, a naval architect in Seattle, Washington, USA, wrote that each of these stones is designed for a specific diameter of hemp rope, which easily suffices for strength. One of the features of the design is that the hole is made in the narrow, thick end of the stone, while the other end of the stone is wider but is weaker, as it is thinner. The modern standard, by his account, a breaking strength of 5 times rated load, was surpassed by hand-wound hemp rope. The presence of the stones along a line leading to the Ark site confirms their use on the vessel known as Noah's Ark. More than that, it displays beyond doubt the path it took. Each of the stones weighs between 4 and about 10 tons, and the difficulty of moving them gives no reason to doubt it. So these heavy anchor stones stayed put for all 5,291 years at the time of writing of this article. The animal and human live load made navigation so crucial. Drogue stones stabilized the vessel in heavy seas or wind and could be cut loose for closer maneuvering to land. That's the end of our study of the Ark article for today, unless we come back again at the end. But these stones are, as we can see here, quite remarkable. They even had a hollowed out section so that the knot in the rope could be depressed or inserted. It could fall into the hole and be situated below the surface of the stone, which would protect the knot. But they were also rounded so that the ropes did not get cut off on the side where the longer portion of the rope came out. I mean, they were designed for this use, and they were 5 times stronger than needed, which was the typical design strategy that would be used for this sort of application, according to this person, Mr. Samuel Windsor, who was a naval architect. I don't know if he still is. He was, at least, a naval architect in Seattle. So, these stones are gigantic. They weigh so much, you couldn't use them on a smaller boat. So, they're just completely consistent with their use on Noah's Ark. Our study from the scriptures from Proverbs, in this case Ecclesiastes for today, little children, it's Ecclesiastes 12 and 8. And this is the theme of all of Ecclesiastes. Verse 8, chapter 12, the greatest vanity, says the congregator, everything is vanity. You know, there's very little point to living. There's really very little point to give, or very little reason to live. That's what that's saying. Everything is vanity, no matter what you do. I mean, I guess the point of living is to try and make it something worthwhile, but what Solomon found is that nothing could be found that was worthwhile in all of his efforts. Now, Deuteronomy 33. Now, this is the blessing. Now, this is Moses still speaking to the Israelites on the plains on the east bank of the Jordan in the land of Moab, opposite Jericho, which is on the west side of the Jordan and north of the Dead Sea. Now, this is the blessing with which Moses, the man of the true God, blessed the sons of Israel before his death. And he proceeded to say, Jehovah, from Sinai he came, and he flashed forth from Seir upon them. He beamed forth from the mountainous region of Paran, and with him were holy myriads, at his right hand warriors belonging to them. He was also cherishing his people. All their holy ones are in your hand. And they reclined at your feet, and they began to receive some of your words. Moses laid as a command upon us a law, a possession of the congregation of Jacob. And he came to be king in Jeshurun. This is not talking about Moses. This is talking about Jehovah. When the heads of the people gathered themselves, the entire number of the tribes of Israel, let Reuben live and not die off, and let his men not become few. And this was Judah's blessing, as he went on to say, Hear, O Jehovah, the voice of Judah, and may you bring him to his people. His arms have contended for what is his, and may you prove yourself a helper from his adversaries. As to Levi, he said, Your Thummim and your Urim belong to the men loyal to you, whom you put to the test at Massah. You began to contest with him by the waters of Meribah, the man who said to his father and his mother, I have not seen him. Even his brothers he did not acknowledge, and his sons he did not know, for they kept your saying, and your covenant they continued to observe. Let them instruct Jacob in your judicial decisions, and Israel in your law. Let them render up incense before your nostrils and a whole offering on your altar. Bless, O Jehovah, his vital energy, and may you show pleasure in the activity of his hands. Wound severely in their hips those who rise up against him, and those who intensely hate him, that they may not rise up. As to Benjamin, he said, Let the beloved one of Jehovah reside in security by him, while he shelters him the whole day, and he must reside between his shoulders. As to Joseph, he said, May his land be continually blessed from Jehovah, with the choice things of heaven, with dew and with the watery deep lying down below, and with the choice things, the products of the sun, and with the choice things, the yield of the lunar months, and with the choicest from the mountains of the east, and with the choice things of the indefinitely lasting hills, and with the choice things of the earth and its fullness, and with the approval of the one residing in the thorn bush, may they come upon the head of Joseph, and upon the crown of the head of the one singled out from his brothers. As the firstborn of a bull his splendor is, and his horns are the horns of a wild bull. With them he will push peoples all together to the ends of the earth, and they are the tens of thousands of Ephraim, and they are the thousands of Manasseh. And as to Zebulun, he said, Rejoice, O Zebulun, in your going out, and Issachar in your tents. Peoples to the mountain they will call. There they will sacrifice the sacrifices of righteousness, for they will suck the abounding wealth of the seas and the hidden hoards of the sand. As to Gad, he said, Blessed is the one widening the borders of Gad. As a lion he must reside, and he must tear the arm, yes, the crown of the head, and he will pick out the first part for himself, for there the allotment of a statute giver is reserved. And the heads of the people will gather themselves together. The righteousness of Jehovah will he certainly execute in his judicial decisions with Israel. And as to Dan, he said, Dan is a lion cub. He will leap out from Bashan. And as to Naphtali, he said, Naphtali is satisfied with the approval and full of the blessing of Jehovah. Do take possession of the west and south. And as to Asher, he said, Blessed with sons is Asher. Let him become one approved by his brothers and one dipping his foot in oil. iron and copper are your gate locks, and in proportion to your days is your leisurely walk. There is none like the true God of Jeshurun, who rides upon heaven in help of you, and upon cloudy skies in his eminence. A hiding place is the God of ancient time, and underneath are the indefinitely lasting arms. And he will drive away from before you the enemy, and he will say, annihilate them. And Israel will reside in security, the fountain of Jacob by itself, upon a land of grain and new wine. Yes, his heavens will let the dew drip down. Happy are you, O Israel. Who is there like you? A people enjoying salvation in Jehovah, the shield of your help, and the one who is your eminent sword? So your enemies will cringe before you, and you, upon their high places, you will tread. That's the end of Deuteronomy 33. Now we have Revelation 18. This is again John relating what he saw in heaven, which was revealed to him by the resurrected Christ. After these things, I saw another angel descending from heaven with great authority, and the earth was lighted up from his glory. And he cried out with a loud voice, saying, she has fallen. Babylon the Great has fallen, and she has become a dwelling place of demons, and a lurking place of every unclean exhalation, and a lurking place of every unclean and hated bird. For because of the wine of the anger of her fornication, all the nations have fallen victim, and the kings of the earth committed fornication with her, and the traveling merchants of the earth became rich due to the power of her shameless luxury. And I heard another voice out of heaven say, get out of her, my people, if you do not want to share with her in her sins, and if you do not want to receive part of her plagues, for her sins have massed together clear up to heaven, and God has called her acts of injustice to mind. Render to her even as she herself rendered, and do to her twice as much. Yes, twice the number of the things she did. In the cup in which she put a mixture, put twice as much of the mixture for her. To the extent that she glorified herself and lived in shameless luxury, to that extent give her torment and mourning. For in her heart she keeps saying, I sit a queen, and I am no widow, and I shall never see mourning. That is why in one day her plagues will come, death and mourning and famine, and she will be completely burned with fire, because Jehovah God, who judged her, is strong. And the kings of the earth who committed fornication with her and lived in shameless luxury will weep and beat themselves in grief over her when they look at the smoke from the burning of her, while they stand at a distance because of their fear of her torment, and say, too bad, too bad, you great city, Babylon, you strong city, because in 1 hour your judgment has arrived. Also, the traveling merchants of the earth are weeping and mourning over her, because there is no one to buy their full stock anymore, a full stock of gold and silver and precious stone and pearls, and fine linen, and purple, and silk, and scarlet, and everything in scented wood, and every sort of ivory object, and every sort of object out of most precious wood, and of copper, and of iron, and of marble, also cinnamon, and Indian spice, and incense, and perfumed oil, and frankincense, and wine, and olive oil, and fine flour, and wheat, and cattle, and sheep, and horses, and coaches, and slaves, and human souls. Yes, the fine fruit that your soul desired has departed from you, and all the dainty things and the gorgeous things have perished from you, and never again will people find them. The traveling merchants of these things, who became rich from her, will stand at a distance because of their fear of her torment, and will weep and mourn, saying, too bad, you, the great city, clothed with fine linen and purple and scarlet, and richly adorned with gold ornament and precious stone and pearl, because in 1 hour such great riches have been devastated. And every ship captain and every man that voyages anywhere, and sailors and all those who make a living by the sea, stood at a distance and cried out as they looked at the smoke from the burning of her, and said, what city is like the great city? And they threw dust upon their heads and cried out, weeping and mourning, and said, Too bad, too bad. The great city in which all those having boats at sea became rich by reason of her costliness, because in 1 hour she has been devastated. Be glad over her, heaven, O heaven. Also you loyal, also you holy ones, and you apostles, and you prophets, because God has judicially exacted punishment for you from her. And a strong angel lifted up a stone like a great millstone and hurled it into the sea, saying, thus with a swift pitch will Babylon the great city be hurled down, and she will never be found again. And the sound of singers who accompany themselves on the harp, and of musicians and of flutists and of trumpeters will never be heard in you again, and no craftsman of any trade will ever be found in you again, and no sound of a millstone will ever be heard in you again, and no light of a lamp will ever shine in you again, and no voice of a bridegroom and of a bride will ever be heard in you again, because your traveling merchants were the top-ranking men of the earth. For by your spiritistic practice all the nations were misled. Yes, in her was found the blood of prophets and of holy ones and of all those who have been slaughtered on the earth. And that's the end of Revelation chapter 18. Oh, wow. What a day. Well, I finally realized I needed to drink water that was not containing any calcium. And so I needed to go and get some distilled water. And that was what I did today, but I bought some other things too. I bought more hot dogs and some hamburger meat, and I ate hot dogs and hamburger, one hamburger, two hot dogs, and I ate a lot of bread, which I bought also because it was fresh, and it was a baguette, beautiful baguette. So I had some feasting today. My appetite is much better. I think I'm just recovering at an amazing rate at the moment. But I have to be very careful not to eat calcium. That's the thing, not to drink it, not to drink anything or eat anything that has calcium. I have to be very careful about that. Anyway, we'll see. We'll see right now what's going to happen with everything. Maybe it could be that many of my symptoms were caused by the vitamin D overdose. So, and it could have been for a lot longer than I knew. A lot longer a period of time. Which is, it will be ascertained, I believe. But we will find out, you know, no matter what. So, we are now at the 17 and so minute mark of our video. We've concluded our Bible study, but we can perhaps go back and look at I can't believe my energy level and my differences. If I can just get better and better and better in the next, you know, weeks and months, I could have an amazing level of health. I don't know yet, but we might not even need to remove anything out of my mouth, you know. So this is, I just don't know. It's currently I have no pain in my mouth. The giant drogue anchor stones, we just studied that today. Now that's an incredible part of the story, that just a few kilometers away, in other words, or miles from the Ark landing site on the mountain, which is where the wall of heaven is and where the Ark was found. Just a few, and the Ark was identified by also by digging down into it and finding animal dung in different compartments, showing that there had been animals evidently residing inside the Ark, which is what you would expect. They found some animal hair, apparently. It was there were a lot of things that were done in the study of the Ark landings, or the Ark site itself, where the Ark had originally landed further up the mountain and had slid down in a mudslide, or possibly also something to do with a lava slide, but it was petrified wood. The Ark was, by the time it was found, was petrified wood. And the story of how the Ark was found is amazing. It's remarkable. It's phenomenal. There was a pilot flying over flying over the place where the ark was, and he noticed this shape that was very symmetrical, like he believed it was the shape of a ship. It was not only symmetrical, it looked like a ship. And he was a pilot flying his plane over the site. He was a military man, so he recognized this, that this looked like a ship, and he reported it. So then when it was investigated, the initial investigators, I don't know what they found, but I don't believe they thought it was anything special. But eventually, sooner or later, Ron Wyatt arrived there from the U.S., and he was an anesthesiologist, actually. So he was a technician, but not a scientist trained with, with the knowledge of physics and all these things that would have helped him. Nor was he trained necessarily with mathematics, because you don't need that for anesthesiology either. So, I mean, he lacked some training, but he got some experts to help him. And the problem is the difficulty of testifying to people of the world and saying we found Noah's Ark is a very great difficulty, because you want to be joyful and tell them, but they're completely taken aback by this claim that Noah's Ark has been found. Perhaps some of them don't even believe at all in, it's undoubtable that some of them don't believe in God nor in the Bible. So how are they going to accept that Noah's Ark has been found? So people who, if you declare this kind of news to unbelievers, you yourself are in grave danger of losing your faith, and that's what happened to many of these ones who were attempting to declare to the world that Noah's Ark had been found. They lost their faith. Even, the scientists and the people who did the most highly technical work, they said no. So look at this. This Noah's Ark is 2 miles north of Iran, 35 miles southwest of Armenia, but it's also 45 miles south of Armenia. It's very close in that area there. It's in Turkey near Iran. And it's also a little further away from Armenia than it is from Iran. The similarity of Ararat to Arata, also in the story of the post-diluvian ruler, in other words, after the flood, post-diluvian ruler called Enmerkar, whose name has some resemblance to Nimrod, because of the N, R, the Nim, and the R, right? N, M, and we have R's. So it's like Nimrod in some ways. But this post-diluvian ruler called Enmerkar, who lived after, so he must have been, based on the story of Noah's Ark, there were 8 survivors, including Noah, and this Enmerkar must have been a descendant then of the of those 8, but he lived quite a significant time after the landing of the ark, so he had time to be born. But I mean, because the ark was the only surviving people, it was the only source of any survivors after the flood, because the deluge was worldwide. It wiped out all of mankind, all that was living on the dry land, in fact, animals as well. And that's told to us by the Bible, so we don't expect anything other than that Enmerkar was one of the descendants of Noah's family. He was a descendant of Noah, as all of humanity after the deluge were. because the deluge did terminate the lives of all the other lineages on Earth. We have so many things that we want to study here. There was the Armenian patriarchal founder, who must have also been a descendant of Noah. He founded Armenia, and he killed Bel the Babylonian. There's a spelling error. Wait a minute. Bel the Babylonian. Okay, I just see. I just noticed a spelling error. Okay, that's interesting. The location of the mountain where the ark landed is from Berosus, the mountain of the Chordeans. But the Uzengili who live in the area of the ark call it Kuti Dagi, Mount Kuti. And it's pronounced in Turkish as Judy. It's in the Kurdish mountains. And the Quran, 11:44, says it came to rest upon the Mount Judy. Whereas the Epic of Gilgamesh asserts on Mount Nisir, the ship stuck fast, and it did not slip away. Interesting, because we know it did slide, but it stayed there on the mountain. The Hebrew word NSR means eagle or vulture. So Mount Nisir would be similar to the Hebrew word NSR. The town of Uzengili, where Noah's Ark now remains, is known as Nassar. Compare that with Nisir. It's very similar, apart from the vowels. And that was the former name of Uzengili before 1948 of the Common Era. Dogubizayet is estimated to be 12 miles or 19 kilometers northwest, and Kazan about 15 miles or 24 kilometers northwest of Noah's Ark. And there's this sheer rock face called the Wall of Heaven at the summit. Of the mountain where the ark landed. And it's caught there. The ark is. It's caught there on a rock outcropping. That's why it didn't slip off the mountain. It's in a mud flow, and it was earlier the ark had descended at the place of first descent, which was higher up the slope below that face called in the Epic of Gilgamesh the Wall of Heaven. That's a sheer rock face that crowns the summit on the northwest side, and there it is, this picture here, right? This here on the left is the sheer rock face, the top left. There's a sheer rock face there. It's called the Wall of Heaven, but that also, that whole string of that mountain, that whole mountain ridge itself looks like a crown, as we mentioned earlier. So, now, it's a 300-foot rock face at the tallest point. And it's the diadem, the crown known as Mashu. The word Mashu is the same word as MSH in Hebrew, because ancient Hebrew didn't have vowels, of course, and becomes Moshi, drawn out of water. That's the name of Moses. Speaking about that, we're coming to the last chapter of the book of Deuteronomy tomorrow, and that will end the five books of Moses and what is known as the Torah in the Jewish religion. And it is okay. Now Mashu means in Akkadian twins, and it is the name of the first pitched camp at the place of first descent to the summit of Mount Nisir. Truly Misha of Genesis 10 and 30. Uzengili is also known as Masar or Meshar, however that's pronounced, which is to be compared with Mashu. So that's the study of this mountain peak where the ark landed. Can you imagine the ark cutting away with Noah and his sons cutting away the mooring ropes for the drog anchor stones shortly before they maneuvered in here to this mountain peak with the sheer rock face, and they landed right near there. Now Ron Wyatt created many different simulations, physical models, that's it. He created models with water and a mountain of the same shape as this mountain, because Ron was at this site, he saw the mountain. So he created these models, and he kept studying how a ship could come in and land here. And he found that the shape of the mountain made it such that the water current tended to make it very easy for a ship to land on this side of this mountain. And of course, here we see the ark, having drifted down the mountain to this point on the same side where it landed. So Ron did a lot of work with whatever he could, whatever with the knowledge that he had, and with whatever tools he could gain access to. Meanwhile, we're running out of time. This is the end of our video for today, little ones. So it's September 11th, 2023. Of course, we have the resurrection hope that even the righteous and the unrighteous will be resurrected by the Father of the resurrection, who is Jesus. It's 2054 hours Eastern Daylight Time. I'm Ward Green. I love you all very much. This is time now for my beautiful watch crow and his companion, Cassie, my Casio watch, to say on my behalf, bye for now.